This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com. Welcome. You are listening to the Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Today is April 20th, 2020, and this is show number 16. So amazing what can happen over a weekend, Nick, huh?
Oh, yeah. You never know what you're going to wake up to in this kind of environment. As you could see today, you have crude oil down 40%. But remember, that's the spot price now for this contract. This contract will expire, I think, today or tomorrow. So we're going to go into the June contract, which is not down quite as much, only down about 9% at the moment. Still a pretty good licking for crude. So there's definitely some problems there. You're going to see probably some companies, small oil companies, now file for bankruptcy. We've already started to see that, in fact. But again, as we said on the program just a couple days ago, a few days ago, was that the contango in oil, if you look out and just go out to, 2021 in June, the June contract, that's flat today. That's not even down. Yeah. So, you're just looking at a lot of shenanigans get played here in this near-term contract, a lot of scare tactics too. But there's definitely no real demand. And that's what it's telling us. You know, demand is still very soft. And, at the moment, you're probably looking at a soft summer demand, too. So that's probably reflecting in this this May contract decline.
Right. So when we're looking at it here, what's it going to take for oil to go higher? I mean, the world is going to be reopening in the next 30 days, obviously. I don't think anything is going to stand in the way of that, because we've kind of reached our limit here where you just can't wait any longer, right? People want to get back to their lives and back to business. So something's got to give here. But right now, nobody's driving. I mean, myself, I would fill up once or twice a week. Now I filled up once in the past 3 or 4 weeks. And you know, the demand just isn't there, but it can shoot up again pretty quickly, can it?
It'll shoot up pretty quickly, and again, we're starting to see parts of the country open up again. I mean, this weekend we had Jacksonville, Florida start. That's, a pretty big segment of Florida. And then you have parts of the Midwest starting to open up as well. And as you get out towards other states opening, you're definitely going to see more oil being used up. And, just think about it. At this stage of the game, you could go fill up your car for, under $2 a gallon anywhere in the country. That's unheard of.
If you go to gasbuddy.com in Palm Beach County, which isn't the cheapest gas by any stretch because Florida has no refineries, you can find gas at $1.499 a gallon regular, which... like, I don't remember that. It hasn't happened in years.
Yeah, I mean, this is as low as I can remember in quite some time. You got to go back to maybe the 90s to see fuel this low. So, but you're looking at airlines, there's no demand there yet. But if things start to, get resolved here, these things are going to pick up quickly and oil will go higher. So what I've done and how I positioned myself is I own October USO oil, USO, which is an ETF for crude. I own the October contracts. That's how I did it. As I don't believe we're going to see oil prices remain down here at these lows, I think that's the way you want to do it. Give yourself a lot of time on the clock, and you can own oil via call option. Just give yourself, several months out, and I think you'll be fine and you can make some money there.
And what's the strike price on those?
Well, I did the USO, the $5 strike price. Currently, I did the October 16 date. So I have all the way up till October 16th. If they trade anywhere near 5, remember, I got them down at, below 4. So if they trade anywhere near 5, I mean, I'd make probably 100% on my money.
Wow. And there's a good possibility, because this is such an extreme reaction, to what's happening. And if our theory is right that things are going to start opening up, and we saw four or five states never even closed because they didn't have that many cases. Now we're going to see more states open up. We saw four or five open, and parts of states are going to open. The whole thing of closing down the entire state, like Florida, where 60, 70% of the cases were in South Florida. Why close off, Hendry County, where they had like no cases, or Madison County, all these little counties that really have nothing to do with the rest of the state. They're interior, they're agricultural, and they just didn't have the outbreak. It made absolutely no sense to me. Well, that's us. One thing we're going to talk about, the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program. I discovered something real disconcerting about it, Nick, and you're not going to be surprised. You're a cynical New Yorker at heart still. But what they did was the big banks, which gave out most of the money, they required all the applicants, and they processed them first, to have lending relationships with them, meaning that the company X that's applying owed Too Big to Fail National Bank money. And therefore, by getting the PPP, they helped ensure that that loan would get repaid. And there was real favoritism and everything else. I sent out an e-blast to all of my subscribers saying, you got to like write or do something, because this was really billed to help the little guy. And really, it became an indirect partial bailout of the banks.
Well, does that surprise you at all? I mean, I'm not even. Yeah, I mean, that's just, I really wouldn't think it could go any other way. So personally, I'm not stunned at any of this stuff. Again, if you just, look at government, the way government is structured, the way it's run, I mean, nobody should be ever surprised at hearing something like that. We're just in a political tug of war too, to say the least. And just remember, it's always about the banks. I don't care what. Yes. I own the XLF right now for that reason. Not because I care about them, just simply because I know it's always about the financials. If you look at 2008, it was a bank bailout, basically, and on the back of the people. Now, again, you're not going to let your banks go down, because that's your financial structure. So, I'm not surprised at all whatsoever about that.
Yeah, just the program that was billed to help the little guy. And then you look at your unemployment insurance systems throughout the country. None of them were ever designed to handle a million claims in 3 or 4 weeks. They've all imploded. So the poor person out there, gig employee, independent contractor, which they've opened unemployment up to now for the first time ever, even if they didn't pay into it, they've really got a world of hurt on their hands. Who knows when these systems will come up? So,
well, it's a horrible thing, just all in all. But the bottom line is, America's got to get back to work now. I mean, this is, there are other methods that we could do here. I don't want to share my views, because I have some pretty strong views about this whole thing. But America's got to start to open up again. I mean, this is what we're built on. We're built on business. This is a business country. And, I think we're getting there. I think it's a horrible disease. I don't want to make light of it, a horrible virus. But, America's got to get back to work now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it was horrible. Thousands of people have died. We don't know exactly how many, because the numbers have been distorted, partly because of reimbursement practices that allow hospitals to get 100% reimbursement on any COVID-19 case. So they've built in an incentive to jack up those numbers, all these things. But the fact is, it's diminishing. When we look, Washington State, which was the epicenter of this, Seattle, which is King County, their cases aren't even doubling now. They say cases too very slow to change. That's what the Times says. And when you look, once you get to 20 days, which is like what Florida's up to for doubling, then it's no longer an epidemic. Yeah, 20 days is about 1,300 cases a day, but that is going down rapidly. testing's going up, cases are going down or staying the same. That says they're going down. So in any event, we'll see another stimulus, right? It'll definitely happen. Hopefully this time it'll get to some of the other people who really need it most. And then hey, let's talk about a couple of things here. We got gold today. It's down a little bit.
It's actually positive now.
It's positive. Went up. I didn't even see it. And so gold's up, and we already talked about oil. Your other picks. You still watching the hotel stocks?
Yeah. So I actually took the money off the table on Hyatt on Friday, just because it was a 30% gainer in one day. I'm not gonna be a fool here. But look what it did. It's already, it's down $1.20, the stock is. So I'm looking, just waiting a couple more days, but I'll be re-entering that same position for more upside. And, that's something I've been doing, quite a bit of, is just finding a very, very good setup where I think I have a defined bottom. I like the pattern, as long as the pattern don't break. What I like to do is if I get fortunate enough to make money quickly, I'll take it off the table, then I'll wait for another pattern set up on a smaller time frame, and I'll re-enter it. I did that, in fact, with the FXI, which is the iShares China Large Cap Fund. It's an ETF. I did it in my options program, and we did it four times. We made over 107%. Right. So it was pretty spectacular. And I'm going to do the same thing with Hyatt. I might even add Hilton in there because the charts are virtually the same charts. But again, the Hyatt play was just a little bit cheaper to do, and mm-hmm. I got the same bang for the buck.
Right. So you've been watching, you had your eye on Delta Airlines. Anything happening there?
Today, the airlines are down just a touch. They're not down all that much. But I will say that right now, when you look at the airline stocks, they're going to be reporting earnings this week. So I don't expect them to do a whole lot until after their announcement. Now, with that being said, I don't think any of the airlines are going to report anything good.
Yeah, dismal.
But yeah, it's going to be dismal, and actually they're going to probably guide lower so that if things do pick up, and they could say, hey, things are looking a little bit brighter, markets will really react off that news. It's what we call in business corporate sandbagging, and it's done by Apple and Amazon, a lot of big companies. They'll give you poor guidance, and then when things do look better, as they know they're going to, that really gives a big boost and a shot to the arm. So, we'll see how it plays out. But Delta's holding up really, really well today. I mean, the stock's only down 34 cents today. Another one I like is Southwest Airlines. I own that outright already. And, that's only down 20 cents at the moment.
Yeah. So, and that goes with our thesis of the country opening up, even though I know you don't look at the fundamental thing. But you can see, like you say, the future is in the charts. The past is in the news.
That's well said, Kerry. I couldn't say it any better personally. So that's well said. And that's exactly how markets operate. So I know when things look terrible and they look their worst, that's when I'm going in. I'm getting my hands dirty. A lot of the so-called easy money's been made already since March. Now we're in the grind, since the S&P has recovered over 50% of its losses from the March 23rd low. now we're sitting on the 50-day moving average, which is a technical resistance level, but we're just putting in another base there to go higher. So nothing has really changed from what we've talked about in these prior podcasts.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting about that. And the market's down a little today, but it's not getting killed. And with the oil really taking a dive, that, a lot of times that recently that has caused the market to go down. So interesting,
Kerry,
there.
If I may interject real quickly, I just want to share something with the audience. Today we have the Dow open down, 400 points or whatever it was at the low. Now it's down 262 as we speak. But the Russell 2000 today, and this is something that everybody should watch out for. The Russell 2000 represents small cap businesses in the United States, small capitalization companies in the U.S. Today, the Dow is down over 1%. The S&P is down about 0.6%. The NASDAQ actually just went green. But the Russell is only down 0.05%. So, when you see the Russell starting to show strength, That's telling you that companies are coming back. Things are coming back online. It's not so dire as everybody is predicting.
Yeah, and we talked about this. Is there's no realistic way to have a partial opening, reopening, because one man's vital business is another man's useless business. You might pick up, you might clean the streets, and that might seem vital to you, but not to the people around you. And any discrimination in what businesses should open first is really baseless, because look, every business is vital to the owner, to the employees of that business, and to the economy. And how do you say one business is more vital? Yes, if you sell food, that's vital, or gas for the car. But what makes Walmart more vital than, you know, a little dress store, yeah, or whatever?
Or a barbershop, yeah, right? My hair has been growing. Oh, man. My wife's telling me I look, you know, she said, you better go get a haircut. I said, well, tell me where I can go.
Yeah, where?
Right? So, you know, when you think about it, I mean, think about all of these people that are out of work right now. I mean, even if we went in back into the barbershop, everybody wore a mask. I mean, you go on your own terms. I would certainly go. I mean, I'm overdue for a cut here. So,
look.
But that would get things rolling again, you know. Then next thing you know, you have the little restaurant next door that needs to open up, right? A couple of my favorite places are closed right now. Can't even get takeout there. You know, they just shut the doors.
I know. It's really insane. And they're going to open way fast, just like when you saw it in Jacksonville and they opened the beaches there, and people just poured in. They just poured, and once it's that old saying, once the boys have seen Perry, it's going to be hard to keep them down on the farm. Well, once you let them out of their confinement, you know, it's like the prisoner getting out of prison there, and he doesn't want to go back.
That's right. And that's why you're going to see you know, people keep saying, oh, nobody's going to want to fly on the airlines. Well, I've already bought tickets, so I'm flying. I'm going away. So I'm not, you know, terrified to fly. And I don't think most Americans are. I think people are going to start to fly. All the airlines got to do, if they really want to protect themselves, give a COVID-19 test 5 minutes before you get on a plane. Just like, you know, they have these 5-minute tests now. Everybody should take one if that's what it takes to get the confidence back. And you know, after 9/11, I'll never forget, nobody was flying. Everybody was terrified.
I remember.
I was flying all over the place, taking more trips than I've ever taken in my life on a fraction of the cost.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be the same thing. I mean, this is the United States. This is what people do.
Absolutely.
They are not meant to sit in their homes. And you know, I just don't see it really staying down all that long. That's why I like the airline stocks. That's why I like the hotel stocks. That's all these beaten down industries. That's what America is built on, that industry. We're a service industry. We're not, you know, we're not a manufacturing hotbed anymore. We're a servicing industry.
Yeah. And if you want to see a place where people just sit home all day, kind of in front of their homes and just kind of bandy about and socialize, go check out Havana. Because nobody's working there. The people who do work, their heart's not in it, because there's no competition and there's no reason to excel. And you see what happens when people just stay home all day. It's time to end this nonsense and get back to work, as it were. And hopefully we will be there soon. So with this in mind, what we talked about, the Russell 2000 down fractionally, but the Dow down 1%, is this going to set the tone for the week?
Yeah, I think it could be. So what you look for is whenever the Russell starts to show leadership along with the NASDAQ, I mean, that's a perfect, what we call in the world, a 1-2 punch, because you're talking about people buying into risk assets as opposed to owning the Dow Jones Industrial Average, where people are just really owning those 30 stocks for dividend and income. And a lot of times they'll place money there just to park it and to keep it in a safe haven, even if the market is tumultuous. So when people go back into the Russell or they go back into the NASDAQ, that's telling you they want risk assets. They have an appetite for risk again. And again, that's, you know, something you got to watch. It doesn't mean it can't change tomorrow. It doesn't mean, you know, it's where, but when I see that, and I have been noticing that more and more every night when I go through all of my chart setups, I'm watching the Russell 2000 very closely as a whole. I don't have to watch every stock in it. I just watch that one index and I look at what it's doing. I also watch the NASDAQ composite. I see, you know, is the NASDAQ still showing strength? A lot of NASDAQ stocks last week got toppy because they've had such big runs already. But another thing you want to watch for also is the semiconductors. Are the semiconductors acting well? Every technician watches the semiconductors because that's, you know, something that is in every product that you own or buy. If you have a cell phone, you got tons of semiconductors in there. You have a TV, you got tons of semiconductors. Even, you know, today, people wear watches that are electronic now with semiconductors. I mean,
I know, I got one.
Yeah, you get it. It's a real good indication of, you know, is business going up or business going down? And the semis have been acting really, really well. So those are all positives, at least from what I could see right now.
All right. So it's not the end of the world yet. And really, you got to go over to Nick's site, inthemoneystocks.com. I mean, it's up to date with your latest trades, even Hyatt. We talked about that from last week. You were in and out for 30%+ gain, literally within the day. And everything is there that you need. A lot of free complimentary information that will help you be a better trader. And inthemoneystocks.com, any questions, anything you want to know, email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. That's kl@kerrylutz.com. Nick, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
Thank you, Kerry.
This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to inthemoneystocks.com.